The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back. It's Friday. Admiral Cooper is standing by to come aboard. We're going to give him a special greeting here, musically speaking. Here we go.
That's all, folks.
Well, no, that's not all. We're just getting started.
Good evening.
I'll take your word for that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, here in Florida, it was 80 degrees today.
Yeah, but I guess things are going well. We'll talk later. This is good.
Yep.
Glad to hear. We have a lot of things to do tonight. We're going to enjoy this next 2 hours with Harry a great deal, as we always do. So welcome, all of you, wherever you are around the world. And I assume it's round, although there are a lot of people on the Internet who are pushing this flat Earth thing again. How crazy does it get?
They got a point there. You know, Columbus had four ships, but one of them sailed off the edge, and they haven't found it.
That is true. Irrefutable proof. All right.
Right.
Very good. Now, we have some things coming up that are historic in nature. Historic in the sense that you will get a chance to walk through history like you will never get a chance again, because this is the last chance you're going to have a chance to go on the Southern Patrol with Admiral
right.
Cooper. And I mean, this is, and I hope all of you listening, don't blow this opportunity. If you have any idea that you'd ever like to go with Harry on a patrol, this is it. This is it. This is the last one. The last Southern Patrol. There'll be others of other types, but this is the last Southern Patrol, and you're going to get to see some things that you will never forget that are extraordinary. We have a whole bunch of pictures for you tonight, too. So tell them about the Southern trip. What's the deadline? Sooner the better, of course. But tell us about what's happening.
Right. The deadline is when the 40th person signs up, then that's the deadline, because we can only take 40 people on our bus. We're more than halfway there now.
Great.
Yeah, thank God.
Well, good for the people. Thank God for you, but thank goodness for the people who are going to go. They'll never
right.
have this opportunity again.
Some of the people have been with us on previous patrols, and some as many as six patrols.
Wow.
They know. So many.
Yeah. Oh, we lost Harry. Do we have Harry? Nope. That beep beep is a universal signal that he dropped offline, so we'll get him back on. But quite seriously, go to the homepage, look under guests, and load up the photos. Don't cheat. I mean, there's a gallery there. We've got it done a little differently because we had so many. And what you'll do is you click on one, and it'll enlarge, and you click on it to make it reduce back in size and go on to number two. So we have a whole tour of pictures tonight. Lots of things to look at. So he's back. All right.
We're back.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's see. You had on your show, Christy was on your show.
Yes. We had three of your guests.
Right, including Charlie the Mad Psychiatrist. He's always a lot of fun to have along. You never know which Charlie's with us.
So they're gone. They're both going. And who else?
Yeah. And one guy, he works for the government. He doesn't want his name out there.
Uh-huh. Fred Smith.
Just a lot of fun people. Everybody has the same interest. History. Real, honest to God history. Walking in the footsteps of history.
Yeah.
So we start in Munich, and we see some of the famous places in Munich. We have lunch, of course, at the Hofbräuhaus, which is very famous. Up on the third floor is where Hitler used to have many of his speeches, because they could seat 800 people there.
Mm-hmm.
We usually have lunch on the second floor, but we go up on the third floor and take pictures. Then we go to Nuremberg.
Is that a haunted place? Did you ever ask the owner if they have any ghosts there?
No, never crossed my mind to ask anybody.
Ask him.
Okay.
I bet that's hundreds of years old, that building, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. It's like back in the 1600s, something like that. So, but then we go to Nuremberg, which we'll cover in some of the photos. We go to a couple of air museums, one of which is on a very secret air base and not allowed to take photographs until we get inside the one hangar, which is the Messerschmitt Foundation. And we see they've got an ME-262 jet fighter, and they've got an ME-163 Comet rocket fighter. And there's another museum we go to that is in a World War I airdrome.
Hmm.
Then at the little town, well, it's not so little, the village we stay in outside of Nuremberg, it's called Ingolstadt. They've got their own small version of Oktoberfest, and we go there. Then in Nuremberg, we see the party rally grounds. We go to the stadium where Hitler used to stand to make his speeches.
Uh-huh.
And if all goes well, we go inside that stadium by a sign that says Eingangsverboten, which means shark hunters welcome here.
Come on in, Harry, is what it says.
You betcha. Bring your cameras.
Yeah.
And then we visit the Congress Hall, which is shaped like the Colosseum, but you could put the Colosseum inside this thing.
Amazing.
The memorial to the Luftwaffe, the place where the death ceremony was held. We visit the Nuremberger Castle, and we have dinner one night in a restaurant that had been open for 90 years before Christopher Columbus set sail for the New World. And they only serve one thing. Sausages, the little Nuremberger sausages, which are about the size of your little finger, but they're very rich. And
they have the same menu, right, for 500 years.
Well, I don't know about what they had back in them days, but right now they got only one menu, sausages.
Well, they had Christopher Columbus autographed sausages back then.
Okay. They're very, very rich. I personally cannot eat more than six. They come six at a time. You order, ein Stück, one batch of sausages. And they got great German potato salad.
Uh-huh.
And we have a contest. Anyone who can beat the shark hunter's record, which is held by Big Steve, he ate 42 of these things and then topped it off with a huge big chocolate sundae. So anybody who can top Big Steve's record of 42, I'll buy their dinner. So far, nobody's made it.
42. And Steve, is he having coronary problems or anything?
I don't know. We haven't seen Steve since that time he was with us, but he's still a member. We still communicate.
Can you get these? These sausages are such a delicacy, apparently. Can they be shipped over here on like with dry ice? For rich people?
I believe they do. To get the real Nuremberger sausages, they are only made in this kitchen, period. No matter where you get the Nuremberger sausages, they have to come out of this kitchen here. And they ship them on dry ice.
Well, fun. And so, enough organic ketchup and anything tastes good, right?
the actual record for how many were eaten is held, the shark hunter's record is 42, but the restaurant record is something like 140,
oh, God.
Which was
That's at one sitting. That's hard to believe.
At one sitting, yeah, by a little skinny Turk who lived in Nuremberg.
Oh, he had obviously an opening in his stomach, and he had a bag hidden underneath there.
Something like that, I'm sure. I wouldn't want to be around him the next day.
Good God. What are these sausages? Are they beef? Are they pork? What are they? Mixture? It's a secret, right?
I never thought to ask.
You don't ask the right questions, Harry. Come on. Any ghosts in here? And what are your sausages made of? That's what we want to know.
Yeah, and they'll probably throw me out.
No,
I'm a spy.
Not shark hunters.
No.
Now, the secret airbase, hold on, the secret airbase you go to, is it secret now or was it secret during the war?
Now.
The German military has any secrets?
This is...
They only have one submarine that still works or something like that.
No, they don't even have one that works. They're all they own six submarines. They're all out of service right now.
Well, that's their big... That's why it's a secret base, because nothing works.
Yeah, well, no, this is not a submarine base. This is a...
I know, I'm kidding.
It's an air base, but the air base itself is not the secret. They do ultra-high-tech electronic warfare. That's all I can say about it. And that part of it is all top secret. Everybody has to be cleared in, and unfortunately, our two Russian friends... had to take the van and go to town while we were on the base because I guess Russia and Germany are not the best of buddies. So
they should have just blindfolded them. Come on, let them in there and then let them look around the museum and put the blindfold back on. Most of the German submarines have all been sold to Israel. That's where they went.
Well, they're making submarines for everybody.
That's right.
They have the world's best non-nuclear air independent submarines, so they're selling them to everybody and his brother.
That's where we got ours.
Say again?
That's where we got ours.
No. We build our own because we have nuclear subs. The Germans don't build nuclear subs.
I meant you and I.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You're not supposed to tell anybody, I know, but it's anchored down there off Pompano Beach.
I'm not as bright as I should be at this hour.
What hour is it back there? 3 a.m.? No, it seems that way.
20 after 10.
Do you have daylight savings time?
Yes.
I hate daylight savings time. I don't hate many things.
Well, there's a move in the Florida Senate to stay on the time we're at now without switching back in the fall. Whether that works or not, I don't know.
It's such crap. It's stupid. All right.
Yeah.
It was
put in back in the days of when the United States was an agricultural country, and it was to...
That's 100 years ago.
Yeah, well, what can I say? Spitting on the street is still illegal in some towns.
Yeah.
They haven't changed it.
You want to go to the pictures now?
Whatever you say, boss, it's your show.
No, it's your show. Let's go to photos, and I hope all of you have them loaded up. And we have a beautiful gallery this time, so you can just start at the top left, and as you click, you will enlarge, and then if you want it to go back, you click it again. So let's click on the first one, top left.
High tech.
Are you there?
Yeah.
All right. So this is
A1.
A1, is this Cooper's birthday cake? What is this?
That's just my favorite food over there, chocolate cake with whipped cream, ice cream, and chocolate sauce, which is why I think my doctor thinks I have diabetes. And what does he know?
What the hell does he know? And that pen and pencil over there is, that's your calorie counter. I get it. You keep track of your calories.
Pen.
Yeah, the pen and paper. I see.
No, to be perfectly honest... that pen's in my pocket, in my shirt pocket, and I push the button. I get 2 hours of video and audio recording.
Well, it looks like it's sitting on a birthday card ready to autograph.
Well, it's on something or another. I don't know. It might be the menu.
It's got writing on it. So that's, well, that's kind of slick.
And then you see all the tea bags there next to the teacup.
Right.
I'm not much of a beer drinker, and besides, I don't think beer would go good with chocolate cake and ice cream.
That A1 tea You drink a lot of that. Does it help counteract the 14,000 calories I see on that plate?
I don't know. I was raised in a British household. My grandparents.
Tea. That's where you got it, huh?
Yeah, my granddad was Irish. My grandma was English, and we lived there with them until I was 6 years old, when my folks could afford to buy their own house, and they would never let me drink coffee because I was a little kid. So I drank tea.
Nothing wrong with tea. Tea's very no. Good. Tea is excellent. It's excellent.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. And what was it Hitler said? Coffee is gift, tea is schön. Mm-hmm. Coffee is poison, tea is sweet.
You know, Hitler was a, you know this better than anybody, but for those of you who don't know, Hitler was a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not kill animals and eat them. He didn't believe it.
He also passed a law in Germany outlawing vivisection, which, for those of you who don't know vivisection, it's opening up animals without anesthetic to see how their organs are working in them while they're still alive and breathing. And he outlawed that in Germany.
He also waged the first nationwide campaign in the world against smoking. He had the first cancer health war. He declared war on cancer. Oh, yes. Hitler's War on Cancer. I've got the book. I have the complete notes of Hitler's personal physician explaining
all. I didn't have any trouble giving up smoking. When I was a 16-year-old kid, I had the cigarette pack rolled up in my T-shirt sleeve, like, you know.
Did you? James Dean.
Yeah, young punk. So one day I figured I ought to try smoking one of these things. Halfway through the cigarette, I thought, you got to be dumber than a box of rocks to do this. And I threw the cigarette out, and that was it. I smoked half a cigarette, and that was it.
So you gave up cigarettes, but girls were harder.
Yeah, interesting choice of words.
Never mind.
No, I didn't give up girls, and I didn't even drink until, let's see, high school? No, then I was in the Air Force 4 years, didn't drink. I was the only guy who stayed sober in my barracks during
boot camp. Well, you were working on nuclear weapons. That's good.
Well, yeah, but when the guys would come home from partying in town, they'd be all drunk, and I'd have to point each guy towards his right bunk. We had the old John Wayne wartime barracks, two-story wooden barracks.
World War II.
So I didn't. And then college, I didn't drink in college. It was only after I started driving race cars. And that was after the race. Guys would be buying drinks for everybody. Hey, I ran that guy into the wall. Get him and his crew a drink. And, oh, that guy, I crashed him. And I got to where I was serious. I was a serious drinker for a while.
Well, you were a good driver, too.
Well, yeah, but not while I was drinking.
No. What prompted you to get into race car driving? What was it? You remember?
Boy, that's interesting. My best buddy in high school, John, he went into the Navy. I went into the Air Force. But then when we got out, we'd go chasing girls together, and John had the money and the car. He bought a brand new 1963 and a half Ford Falcon convertible with a V8. And I was the smooth talker, I guess. So
I get it. He had the car.
And he decided he wanted to drag race his Falcon. So, okay, fine. I was going to be his crew chief. That meant I took the spare tire out of the car at the racetrack. So the very first time we went to the racetrack, he decided, no, he couldn't handle this. He didn't want to race. So I got put into the driver's seat. And in 22 Sundays, I was class champion 11 times out of 22. And then his wife, who was one of my cast-off girlfriends, told him, he spends too much time with the race car and me sell the car. So he sold the car that day, and I was left with my Corvair, which I had zipped up a bit. And in 22 Sundays, I came home class champion 22 times, set a couple national records with it. And
with a Corvair?
Yeah, well, you're in your own class.
I gotcha.
I was running 16 flats way back in those days. It was pretty good for a little six-cylinder Corvair.
Yeah. I remember that Corvair to the extent that it had the damnedest belt system on it. Yeah, right.
That belt must have been about 40 feet long.
Yes.
It wound around all sorts of stuff in there.
Yeah.
But then one Saturday night, I was sitting at home doing watching TV, I guess, and I got a call from the guy who owned the Sunoco station that sponsored my drag car. He sponsored me by giving me free gas. He was at the local oval track, which was about 4 miles from my house, and he needed a timing light and stuff, so I ran on over there. I used to think stock cars were just a bunch of old wrecks with a few miles left in them, but I got into the pits. Holy cow, the ground was shaking. These were powerful cars. So I bought his and went on to winning a whole lot of races on the short track. And then I figured, no, I got to get to the big tracks because those guys really make a lot of money. Right. It was all relative back in them days. With the short track, I'd go home, I'd win $100, $200. But with the big tracks, I'd win $1,000 or so. And it would take me $2,000 to get there. I had to have a hauler truck and pay for the gasoline, 4 miles to the gallon, put my crew up in a hotel. But, man, it was fun. I was a features editor for Stock Car Racing Magazine in those days.
Wow.
So
you were pushing the floor, what, 160, 70?
Like, we were averaging back in those days 170, 180. And at Pocono, with that very long front straight, we were topping 200 miles an hour. 200 miles an hour is no big deal today on the tracks, but this was 40 something years ago.
No, that's flying. That is flying.
Oh, God, it's living. It's living.
Yeah. Well, that's cortisol flush time. Man, your adrenals must have been going. Yeah.
You're sitting there with 800 horsepower under you.
Yeah.
2 inches off another car, 2 inches off the wall.
And not a woman to be seen, right?
But a multicolored blur as you go by.
No women.
Oh, sure, we had groupies.
That's what I was afraid of. All right.
But that's another whole topic.
We won't go there. Now, we're looking at pictures. We've gotten through one picture already.
Yeah, it's already half an hour.
We're blazing. We're going to have to go through this break here. All right. Let's click on number one. Let's put the chocolate cake back up on the
shelf.
What do we call it? No, there's something else we call it.
Anyway,
whiteboard. It's back up on the whatever it is.
Whatever.
Click on number two. What do we got here?
Number two is the former World War I airdrome where the first museum is that we're going to. That's outside Munich, between Munich and Ingolstadt. And that's a World War I airdrome. And inside, now you click on number two.
They fought combat missions out of that location?
No, I think it was a training base back then.
Okay. Now number three.
Number three, it's a biplane. I'm not that good on World War I planes. But that's a World War I type airplane in that museum. And then click on A4. That is the ME-163 Comet, the rocket-powered
God, what a plane.
Fighter plane.
Yeah. Yep.
We had a couple members in Shark Hunters who were pilots in those things. And the guy said it was just incredible. He said the bombers were like they were hanging on strings as they went zipping through them.
Right.
And nothing could touch them.
No, they went practically straight up when they took off.
Right, and their speeds were up around 600 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And the little propeller on the nose, that's not what pulled it through the air.
No.
Now, that's a little generator.
Incredible technology.
Yeah,
just incredible.
And you see that 20-millimeter cannon in the wing rut.
Right.
Or is that a 30? I think it's a 30. Three or four rounds of that, and the ball game's over because they explode when they hit.
Yeah, just amazing. I read a book called Rocket Fighter, I think, written by one of the pilots once, and it was an amazing story.
The guy who was the very first ever to fly one of these rocket fighters, Wolfgang Spaeta, he was a member of Shark Hunters until he passed away.
You had so many amazing people in your life.
Yeah, yeah. I've been blessed to get into this. This is, you know, not to sound savvy, but this is what God put me on the earth to do. Prior to this, I was an executive. I worked my way up from supervisor up to executive. I had 23 jobs and got fired from 20 of them because I had problems with authority, I guess. But this, I've been doing this 35 years now.
Wow.
Nobody here gets a salary. I do this 12 hours a day.
No, it's a family business, truly.
Yeah, and all our workers, our translators, our legal people, everybody, it's all volunteer.
If all of you out there listening, seriously, are ever thinking about going to Europe on a trip, and I don't even want to get into the politics, but now's the time to go, all right? Not in another 3, 4, 5 years. We don't know what's going to happen there. Go now.
Well, tomorrow is never guaranteed.
Never. Here's your chance.
We stay out of politics on our trip. We stay on history, not politics.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
People ask, was Hitler a good guy or a bad guy? I tell them, go see a sociologist. I'm a historian. I deal in dates and places, not in good, bad, or the
other. Well, we got to get you to do one of those before and after photo books. That'd be fun. I sent that to you the other day.
I don't know if it's still in existence or not. There was a magazine came out every month called
Then
and Now or something
then
like that.
Then and Now. I think you got it. Yeah.
Yeah, before and after, whatever. They show the same place during the war years and today. Really an excellent magazine.
Fascinating.
After the Battle, that's what it was called, After the Battle.
Well, they did show Then and Now pictures, so whatever they call
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It's too bad that isn't online. It should be. If it's probably out of publication, but it ought to be put up online, membership only, whatever, just to look at the darn pictures.
Yeah,
there.
Somebody will probably be able to put it up.
It's a perfect project for history.
I'm sure there's somebody in this world that has every one of those issues, and they can probably scan them and post them.
Exactly right.
Bless their heart.
Yep. Okay. Second line, picture number one. We're looking
A5.
Like A5. We're at some kind of a festival.
This is the small version of Oktoberfest that they have in Ingolstadt. And Victor, who's going to be with us again, got suckered into... he's not a kid. He's, I won't say how old, but he's...
He's 39.
Yeah, right. I think he dates back to the Lincoln administration.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, when we were there last time, we had two lovely young ladies, Jeannie and Christy. Christy's coming with us again. And they convinced him to go on this one ride. And he got off and he said it was a near-death experience for him. So... I leave crazy rides like that to other people. But they've got, rides and booths like you see here and games you play.
I see, yeah.
And they also got great food. If you click on A6, the next one over, there's our two Russian friends ordering.
Uh-huh.
The guy on the left in the white, that's Georgi.
Uh-huh.
He is the father
of
the guy on the right, which is Evgeny. Now, Evgeny had always wanted to meet an SS fighter. He learned German so that he could come on our trip and meet an SS veteran.
Are they going this time?
Say again?
Are they going this time?
Yes, they're both already signed up and paid on.
Great.
They're good people. Evgeny, you don't see him quite so big sitting there, but the guy is a mountain.
Hmm.
Huge guy, about 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we had for eat that day. Now, if you want to slow me down, go ahead and slow me down. But
No. All right, next, A7. There's
A7.
There's your typical lunch, right?
Right. Brötchen, the bread, and the bratwurst, some kind of sausage, and that big blob of stuff, that's mustard, or in German it's called Senf, S-E-N-F, Senf. And they don't spare the mustard. Great food.
Yeah, well, you ought. See, that's one thing that Harry knows especially well is where to go eat there. So you, when you go on this trip, you will have a ball with food, among other things. Okay.
Yeah, you can't get a bad meal over there. You just can't get a bad meal. And where we're at, from Bavaria south through Austria, you can't take a bad photograph. Everything is just magnificent.
Right.
Your listeners can go to sharkhunters.com, click on tours, and make sure you got a couple of hours set aside because it'll just suck you right in.
Very good. Okay, A8 shows the great white smiling shark of the air.
The smiling shark, yeah. This is at the secret facility.
Uh-huh.
And look at that thing. It looks like a smiling shark.
Exactly.
But if you're a pilot, you don't want to look in your mirror and see that, because that means you're going to be seeing St. Peter pretty quick. And there's the wing of the red ME-263, which you see in A9.
By the way, the 262 jet, there was a big argument about that. Hitler was sort of grounded in World War I in some ways. He didn't understand air superiority. And when this jet was first presented to him in 1941, I think I have my years correct, he wanted to make it a bomber, a Schnellbomber, to go over and bomb London and race back and be untouchable, which it was. But in the meantime, the British and the Americans, when they got in, were starting to send these waves of bombers. And had he given up on this idea earlier, eventually Adolf Galland, the general of the German Luftwaffe fighter forces, got in an argument with Hitler and quit because Hitler would not authorize this plane to become an air superiority fighter, a jet fighter. Finally, Hitler relented in 43, but by the time they retooled it and so forth, it was 44 and it was getting real late, and they had some technical problems. Had they put this on frontline production and refined it in 41 and 42, by 43 they could have controlled the air over Germany. That's what the generals wrote in one book I read. But
yeah, Adolf Galland, he was a member of Shark Hunters also until he died. He died on the operating table, open heart surgery.
You know, I gave him three VHS tapes of vintage Disney cartoons, Mickey Mouse cartoons.
Well, Mickey Mouse was his hero because he had a character, a stick figure, Mickey Mouse, painted on the side of his prop fighter.
VF-109.
Right, and Mickey Mouse had a pistol in one hand and a cigar in the other.
Yeah, and I gave them to him through his wife and had someone, anyway, she said he just loved them.
Yeah. They're normal people like we were.
Exactly.
They like cartoons. They like comedy.
Yeah.
They like everything, like normal people. Like they are normal people, no different from us. They just had war is a terrible thing. And that's coming from a veteran here. I'm a veteran. War is a terrible thing. Nobody wins.
Nobody wins.
Yeah,
okay.
Some people just lose worse than others.
That's pretty well summed up.
A9 is the
Comet?
The bright red ME-163 jet fighter. A rocket fighter, sorry, rocket fighter.
The Comet with a K. I sent you video of that, maybe this one. They take it out and they tow it up and they let it glide back down. The pilot glides it back down. So you can see it actually flying.
Yeah, they've got a skid on the wheels and it kind of tips over on a wingtip.
Did you see the video I sent you of this thing gliding and flying?
I don't remember you sending me a video.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay, well, if you sent it to the old Earthlink, God knows it might be off in cyberspace.
No, this is months ago. I'll find it and send it again.
Okay.
But they towed this thing aloft.
Your listeners can send me an email at sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com and say they heard the show, and I'll send them the current issue of the magazine electronically, no charge, free, no strings.
Oh, great. All right. Well, once again, let me just pitch this trip. It's the last Southern patrol that Harry's going to lead over there. What are the dates again, Harry?
I forget the dates, but the last Saturday in September, we meet up in Munich, and it goes for 2 weeks after that, and 2 weeks after that Saturday, then everybody goes back home.
Okay, so end of September, early October. You can get the details at Shark Hunters.
Right, it's the last weekend in September. I'm not very well prepared, but...
It's all right. We'll get to it later. Don't worry. Okay.
Well, I've got a copy of the magazine here. I'll look at it. Nope, it ain't in there. Okay. Anyhow, it's
what
the
a
last
magazine.
Saturday in September. We meet in Munich.
Okay. So,
at our hotel.
Everyone basically gets coordinated, and they have to get there on their own.
Exactly. You know, some people say, well, you ought to include airfare, too. Well, we used to back in the old days. And first off, we have to add that in because I'm not paying for everybody's airfare. And our jumping off part with JFK in New York. So if you live in California, you got to find your own way to New York. And in this, it just didn't work. And then we'd have somebody come up and say, well, I got 40 gazillion frequent flyer miles, knock off some money because I can fly free. So this way everybody gets to Munich. And we've got guys on this tour coming from Norway. We got guys coming from Mexico. We can't very well tell the guys in Norway, fly to New York City to pick
right,
up a plane to go back to Germany.
Right, doesn't
make sense. Finding a hotel, it's a breeze. You get off the airplane at the Franz Josef Strauss Airport. You walk out to the door, which we send a map, and the shuttle is there to our hotel. And it's a five-minute ride to our hotel, bang, zoom. And once you're in the hotel, you're with the group. And you're with us all the time. And when we're, you know, people want to take off on their own, like we will in downtown Nuremberg or an Oktoberfest, that's fine. No problem. Everybody just meets back up or stay with the group later, whatever. No, we haven't lost anybody yet. In 30 years of doing this, we haven't lost anybody.
All right. Okay, let's go to A-10.
A-10. Now we're at the party rally grounds. That's me and Holger. Holger's a great guy. We're standing on the spot where Hitler used to stand, and you see all the grass out there. That's where you see all those thousands and thousands of people.
Tens of thousands.
Off between the railings, you see those white structures over there all around the field. Okay, well, if you get a couple of 100,000 people drinking a lot of beer, what is it you really got to have?
Yeah.
Bathrooms.
25. A 25-cent piece and a bathroom.
Yeah. Well, they got, these were bathrooms all around there. And on top of the fixtures, they had searchlights that, during the first time they did this, at the right signal at night, all the searchlights came on and went up and met about 2 miles in the sky, and it made like a gigantic light cathedral. So we all get to stand there, get your picture taken. I tell everybody, don't put your right arm in the air because it's a felony in Germany.
They probably have surveillance cameras, too.
They have people all over the place. And if you're an American or a foreigner, chances are you're not going to prison, but they'll just kick you out right then, and they'll empty your wallet at the same time. I think it's a 2,500 euro fine, which is about 3,200 Yankee dollars. So just don't do it. And if we find anybody on our tour kidding around like that, we straighten them out real quick.
So is that the last step up to where Hitler would address the crowd?
Well, that's where he actually stood. That's where he actually stood at the big stadium. You'll see the pictures of it here in a minute.
See the dark inlay on the where you're standing in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the location where they would put his rostrum podium?
No, I don't know. I don't think that was built there on purpose. I think it's just starting to deteriorate. There was a big rush for a while in Germany to tear down and destroy anything that was built by the Third Reich.
Yeah.
And then they passed a law that anything that was built by the Third Reich is now a heritage site, or you know, you can't destroy it, but
right.
They don't put any money aside to maintain them either, and so pieces are falling off.
It's called Catch-22 law.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's go to number 11.
11. That's just another shot from that podium, and you can see all those white structures around there that used to be the bathrooms. And that field out there, that's where you'd have hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Is that Triumph of the Will?
That's where they filmed Triumph of the Will.
Right, well.
And that lady, Leni Riefenstahl, was a member of Shark Hunters until she died at age 101.
Was she?
She was a gorgeous, lady when she was young and a great actress.
Yeah.
And her film techniques in the Triumph of the Will, which was the party rally in, 1934, I think it was, they're taught in cinematography schools even today. She had the little trolley that ran along the track where people were running.
Sure.
She had a pit underneath the pole vault where she could follow the guys up and over. And if you saw the Disney movie, The Lion King, there were scenes in there that came right out of Triumph of the Will. And then Jewel of the Nile, they had scenes in there that came right out of the earlier party rally. We have videos of all, DVDs of all that. That was the 1929, which was a silent one, and it had the huge big eagle made out of pipes, just like you saw in Romancing the Stone towards the end of it.
She was a legitimate genius. Did you ever meet her, Harry?
No. Every time I was getting ready to go over to Munich, I'd send over a fax, because there was no email in them days. I'd send over a fax and say, hey, I'm going to be in Munich on such and such days. I'd like to have coffee with you. I'd get a reply that, oh, the Frau Riefenstahl is climbing mountains in the Alps, or Frau Riefenstahl is scuba diving in the Red Sea. Never met her. I wish I could have.
Yeah, wow.
Great lady.
Yep. Okay, and next we're at number
12. A-12. That is way up above the podium. That's the door that only Hitler can use. And he'd come out that door, and the way it was arranged, it was like he came out of the door, way above everybody, and he's walking down the stairs. If you're looking at it from the area of a psychologist, he's coming down the stairs like he's coming down into the midst of the people, and then he goes up about five or six stairs to his podium like he's rising up above it. A lot of brilliant thoughts went into this.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, well, you can go. You can see, well, look at A10 to go back to, and you can see where he stepped up to the podium.
Exactly, exactly. It's a great place. But you see in A12, there's a chunk of it missing. That's Carol from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chunk of that stone missing.
I see it.
To the left of the picture.
To the big piece, yeah.
Yeah, and you can still see on the right that one big block of stone. You can see bullet holes there still. And my friend who's the assistant to the mayor over there, says they estimate it will cost $70 million euros just to keep this place from falling apart anymore. 70 million euros is close to 100 million Yankee dollars.
Right. Well, they're too busy giving it all to the refugees that bring me in there.
Okay.
You don't have to
say anything.
I can. This is my program.
That's
okay.
Right. And I go over there, and it's a felony to do what.
Oh, you can't say anything negative about this, or you go to jail.
That
you can't criticize
Mannheim
any
prison.
Of it.
I don't want to see Mannheim prison from the inside or the outside.
No. All right, number 13.
13.
We're gonna hustle up here. Yeah.
Okay. We're looking across the reflecting lake at the Congress Hall. That's the one I said you could put the Colosseum inside. This was going to be the offices for all sorts of bureaus in the Third Reich, with a huge big glass dome over the top. But the war started, and so they needed the men and the material in the war, so they just stopped building it.
Oh, so it was, it's got a curve in it. You can see that on the right side, that's curved. So that was to be covered.
Right. It's like a big horseshoe, and it was going to have a giant glass dome over it.
Wow.
And the sad thing, toward the end of the war, it was being used as a field hospital for wounded German soldiers. And when Germany finally surrendered, this area was taken over by the U.S. Army, and they went in there, and they found there was 17 guys who were wounded in there were Waffen-SS, who were the toughest fighting troops of the war, and they dragged them out into the courtyard and shot them all dead. Not a good time.
No. I will say nothing. All right, next up, A-14.
Right, that is the Luftwaffe Memorial, and the only reason it was able to stand and not be destroyed from Third Reich stuff is because this came up to remember the guys from World War I, 1914 to 1918. If you look at the Big Eagle, he's standing on the Imperial Crown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they added in the dates later, 1939 to 1945. So we go there, and we see this monument.
Mm-hmm.
And then right around the corner from that, you look at A-15. That's where they used to do the death ceremony, where you see hundreds of thousands of troops all standing at attention in blocks. And Hitler and Rome and one other guy, I can't remember who, and then Rome was replaced by Himmler after Rome got clipped. And they would solemnly march up to here, and then Hitler would have the he would have a soldier beside him with the blood flag. And he would touch the blood flag to the regimental standards of the various regiments to symbolically transfer the bravery and courage of the men whose blood was on the flag. That was from their 1929 beer hall putsch, when a bunch of guys got, 1923, I guess, a bunch of guys got killed, 16 guys got killed, and they bled on the flag, and that was the famous blood flag, Blutfahne.
Okay, number 16.
A-16. This was Hitler's personal entrance into the Congress Hall. Huge place. He had apartments there, and it's now being used by the Philharmonic Symphony for whatever reason. Store their tubas, I don't know. But we can't go in there, but we sometimes go around the barriers that says Eingangsverboten to get up onto the next level.
So he stayed there.
Yeah, that's right. He had his apartments there. Well, everybody's got to stay somewhere, and he was the big shot, so they figured let him stay here rather than find on a place down the road.
Got it. Okay. Very good. All right, number 17.
A-17. Here we can just pause for a moment and take pictures. This was the headquarters, the barracks, etc., called a caserne, for the first SS, the Leibstandart Adolf Hitler, the Hitler's personal bodyguard, the first SS. And if we stay too long taking pictures, we get a lot of attention. So we stop, take pictures, get back on the bus, and go. It's now the headquarters for the Immigration Department.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. All right. Number
A-18.
Thank you.
That's Nuremberg Castle. It's a huge castle. It's actually three castles stuck together side by side by side. One is for the emperor, if he ever came there. One is for the count of that area. And the other one is for the guy that kind of oversees Nuremberg. And each, I guess they didn't get along very well, and one of them built this big tower so that he could look down into the courtyard of the other guy. And you'll notice the Nuremberg colors there, red over white over red.
Mm-hmm.
Those are also the Austrian colors, and they came from back in the days of the Crusades. The count, the duke, the baron, whatever he was, came back from a battle, soaked from head to foot with blood from chopping Saracens, and he had this big sash, and so his valet took off his sash, so the upper part of his body was covered with blood, the lower part of his body was covered with blood, but in the middle it was white, so that's where they came up with the colors.
Hmm. Okay.
And it's way above Nuremberg.
All right.
It's good to be the king.
Now, this, you're all going, all of you who go are going to see these things and much,
yeah.
more.
It's absolutely.
A quick overview of the tour. All right. Now we're going to move to another shot, A19.
A19. That's the Goldener Stern, the Golden Star. That's the restaurant that was in business 90 years before Columbus took off.
That's hard to believe. Look at that.
Yeah. Well, if you got inside it, Jeff, you'd believe it. Anybody who's, you know, 5'10" or so like I am,
uh-huh.
or like I was before I fell off my roof, you had to duck, or you were bonging the ceiling with your head.
Yeah, people weren't that big back then.
Right, they were like 5'6" or so was
yeah.
your average guy.
Yeah.
And so it was built smaller. And it's stereotypical German Gasthof. Dark inside, smoky, and it just reeks with history. Who sat in that chair? Who mm-hmm. who was here mm-hmm. 100 years ago, 200 years ago? And in A20, you see all the pots and pans from that restaurant. That's where they cook all their sausages. And who was cooking here back when Columbus was around? And let your mind wander. You could really
yeah.
have a good time.
Amazing. There's truly amazing history.
Yeah.
Nothing
no, the
like
history
it.
Over there is incredible.
Okay, let's catch another couple quickies here. Here's another festival, A21.
21? That's actual Oktoberfest. And look, you can see the girls in their traditional dress called a dirndl.
Right.
And they wear a bow on there. And last year, Jeannie found out the code, if you wear the bow on your right hip, you're in a relationship. You're married or you've got a steady boyfriend. If you wear it on your left hip, you're available. And if you wear it in the middle, you're a virgin. We never saw any in the middle, though. And the guys you see right there, they're wearing the typical lederhosen.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are expensive. Jesus, they're like $250-$300 just for the lederhosen.
Is this
solid leather?
Is this
you'll never wear them out?
No, is this the Oktoberfest central location for the whole, or is it equally spread over a number of different cities?
Oh no, the real Oktoberfest is in Munich. It happened centuries ago when Prince Ludwig was getting married to mm-hmm. a noble lady from another area, and this was the wedding feast, and it was held in October. But then the weather, then it got to be a tournament, and then a fair, and then the weather shifted a little bit to where, in October, it got rainy a lot, so they shifted Oktoberfest into September. It ends the first weekend in October, and it goes for 2 weeks prior to that. So when you see all the Oktoberfests over here in the U.S. that are in October, you figure somebody didn't do their homework. It's just a lot of fun. Every one of those big beer tents
yeah.
is for a different Munich beer. This one is Schottenhamel. Spätenbrau means a late brew, and it's Schottenhamel is the brand, and there's Polaner, and there's, each one has a huge, huge tent where they each have a big oompa band,
yeah,
and they
yeah.
try to outdo each other.
Yeah, fun stuff.
And the
All
girls
right.
are walking around carrying three or four or five of these big steins that carry 1 liter. In each one.
Too much. That's
yeah,
a lot of beer. Wow.
That's more beer than I drink in 5 years.
All right. Hold on a minute, Harry. We have to pause. We'll come right back as we continue our picture tour
yeah, well.
Of the next and last Southern Patrol coming up at the end of September. So if you have a mind to go, now's the time to make arrangements. Be right back.